ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 18 वर्स नंबर 38। दुखो दर्केशु कामेशु जात निर्वेद आत्मवान अजिज्ञासित मद्धर्मो मुनिम गुरुम उपप्रचेत। दुखोदरकेषु कामेषु जात निर्वेद आत्मवान अजिज्ञासीत मद्धर्मो मुनिम गुरुम उपव्रजेत। दुखोदरकेषु कामेषु जात निर्वेद आत्मवान अजिज्ञासित मद्धर्मो मुनिम गुरुम उपव्रजेत। माताजी, दुख अनहैप्पीनेस उदर केशु इन दैट विच ब्रिंग्स एज इट्स फ्यूचर रिजल्ट। कामेशु इन सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन। जात रिजन। निर्वेद डिटैचमेंट। आत्मवान डिजायरिंग स्पिरिचुअल परफेक्शन इन लाइफ। अजिज्ञासित वन हु हैज नॉट सीरियसली कंसिडर्ड। मत मी धर्मः the process of obtaining. Munim, a wise person. Gurum, a spiritual master. Upabrajet, he should approach. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One who is detached from sense gratification, knowing its result to be miserable, and one who desires spiritual perfection, but who has not seriously analyzed the process for obtaining me, should approach a bona fide and learned spiritual master. Purport. In the previous verses, Lord Krishna described the duty of one who has developed perfect knowledge. Now Lord Krishna discusses the situation of one who, desiring self-realization, has become detached from material life but lacks perfect knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Such a detached person, desiring self-realization, must approach the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master in Krishna consciousness. And then he will quickly come to the standard of perfect understanding. One who is seriously inclined towards spiritual perfection should not hesitate to adopt the regular discipline necessary for achieving the highest perfection in life.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Shaka हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. So in this verse, Krishna is particularly emphasizing the guiding principle for somebody who is looking for self-realization. And as Srila Prabhupada said many times, that in this day and age, hardly anybody is interested in self-realization. And therefore, this age of Kali Yuga is considered the most degraded of all ages. In the previous yugas, it was a natural lifestyle. At some point of time, even throughout their life, people would be having a complete balance in their life. While performing their worldly duties, they were also very much aware of the fact that ultimately they have to pursue this path of self-realization at some stage in their life. And that's what the Vedic system also says, that at some stage in our life, we just detach ourselves completely from this world and start focusing on the main goal. But as time passes, it is the effect of kala, the time factor, that it deteriorates things. And therefore, people's propensity for self-realization has also gone down. And Kali Yuga is the worst, where hardly anybody is interested. Because nobody even knows the self, what to speak of helping the self or self-realization. There are so many self-help books in the market, and there are so many gurus and so many people taking up this line of thought. But nobody really knows that who that self is. So without knowing the self, how can we actually help the self? Like many times, at least it was my experience, that you hear any lecture of Prabhupada, and at least once he mentions in every lecture about this simple thing, that we are not the body, we are spirit souls. So I used to think, why is Prabhupada repeating this simple thing again and again? This is so simple. But then later on I realized that this is the most important thing to understand. Because if we don't even understand our identity, how would we know what we are supposed to do? If somebody joins a company and it is not defined who he is, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that he is the HR head or CEO. He wouldn't know what to do. And then anything that he does without knowing his true identity will simply cause chaos for himself. It will be a problem, and it will be a problem for the company also. So the most important thing to understand is that we are not the bodies, we are spirit soul, and this is self-realization. Prabhupada said, self-realization and God-realization, they go hand in hand. In fact, they are synonymous, they are the same. It doesn't mean that we realize one day we are God. It means we realize, as soon as we realize, I am a spirit soul, the next step is, I am a servant of God, I am a part and parcel of God. So, and on the other hand, if you realize who God is, automatically we realize we are also His children, we are His parts and parcels. So self-realization, God-realization, they happen simultaneously. So hardly anybody is interested in self-realization. It's mostly people are concerned about their bodies. They need help, but they do not know who is the real person who needs help. So therefore we find, even after having everything in life, people are depressed. Anything that a person could ask for to keep this body comfortable, people have it, still they're miserable, because they're not helping the real person. They're not realized who that real person is, self-realization. And even if people are interested in self-realization, there are two major problems. They are doing it on their own. They are just dependent on their own intelligence, own mind, and they think their way, the way they think is right. And they are not ready to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. People think just by watching maybe two kathas on some TV channels, their spiritual life is taken care of. And that's their spirituality. So people are practicing totally depending on their own mind and intelligence. So therefore we hear, in my opinion, I think, I feel, this is right, that is right. But the Bhagavad Gita explains, we are all conditioned. Conditioned by the modes of nature. And the intelligence that we have is also in three modes. So whatever we think is right is also conditioned. It cannot be perfect as long as we are conditioned. So wrong is wrong, absolutely. And our right is also wrong because we are conditioned and we have imperfect senses. So therefore we need to be guided by higher intelligence, and that intelligence means intelligence coming from Guru and Krishna. So this one major problem, people are practicing spirituality but according to their own opinion, what they think is right, what they feel is right. And another problem is that even if they have a genuine desire, they're looking for a person, they don't have complete knowledge. There are so many so-called gurus, pseudo-saints. That's why Bhagavatam explains people in Kali Yuga are mandabhagya, because of this reason. Even if they're interested in spiritual life, there are so many people who are cheating in the name of religion. Wearing the dress of a spiritualist, they call people closer, come, we'll give you spirituality. When they come closer, they give them something else. And it's not spirituality. So Srila Prabhupada, once he was, I think, in Canada or in somewhere in the West. Yes, I think Canada. And it was a custom that every now and then his disciples would bring some prominent personalities to meet him. And that would create an image for the Hare Krishna movement when these personalities or VIPs would visit the temples. So once the disciples brought the most famous professor in Eastern religion, he's the most powerful in the world when it came to Eastern religion. He was invited to meet Srila Prabhupada and he agreed. And he came with his 10 disciples, his whole entourage, the 10 of his best disciples. He came in front, sat in front of Srila Prabhupada, and disciples were very ecstatic, excited that such a big person has come to meet Prabhupada now. And they were feeling very proud of this. Now at least we'll get some good publicity. So he sat down and they exchanged greetings. And immediately this professor said, "Swamiji, I have read every scripture, I have read the Vedas, Upanishads and everything. I find there are so many contradictions among the Acharyas." He said this and Prabhupada became extremely grave. And he said, "There are no contradictions among the Acharyas." And he was so heavy, Guru means heavy. It just shook everybody inside the room. Prabhupada was so angry. And his lips were quivering and he was shaking. And again this professor tried to speak. Prabhupada's gravity was so thick that it didn't leave a room even for a single word to be spoken inside the room. Still this person tried to speak. And Prabhupada immediately said, "There are no contradictions among the Acharyas." And this professor could not speak in front of Prabhupada because the purity, the power of purity, as Prabhupada said, purity is the force. So when a pure person speaks, it has a lot of force behind it. And therefore many persons, the most powerful people, cannot speak in front of people who have a lot of purity. And this professor could not speak even a single word. Then Prabhupada looked at him, asked him, "Do you have a guru?" He said, "No." He said, "Then why are you cheating?" And immediately the disciples were trying to hide their faces. "What is this happening? We brought the best person here and what will it do?" He said, "Why are you cheating?" And the disciples are looking at their teacher as if asking, "Yes, why are you cheating us?" And Prabhupada said, if you don't have a guru, how can you understand the scriptures? Without having a bona fide guru, it is impossible to understand scriptures. It is impossible to understand or realize the conclusions of the scriptures. And his disciples are looking at him and he is completely blank. And Prabhupada said, "You are a cheater. You are cheating. You are not a teacher. You are a cheater." And Prabhupada went on and on. And then finally Prabhupada said, "Take him out of the room. He's a cheater." And he was driven away. But the same person, I heard this in Maharaj's lecture, Adhanath Maharaj's lecture, that later on became a very, very favorable person. And he would invite devotees and he would tell them to lecture, give a lecture to his class. And I would say, he would tell them, your Guru Maharaj taught me a very important lesson. I'm so grateful. He taught me a very important lesson in life. So this is the basic principle, accepting a guru. Of course, Prabhupada could do this because Prabhupada knew how to deal with a person. What would make a person Krishna conscious? Some chastisement or some loving words or just a simple smile? His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj writes in the introduction to this book, Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, that he was a new brahmachari and he was going through some problems and even thinking of leaving the temple, leaving the movement. But then he heard that Prabhupada was coming. So he thought, let me just have one last darshan of Prabhupada at the airport. So Prabhupada came at the airport. There were a large group of devotees. They were jumping in ecstasy and Prabhupada is coming, garlanded, the flower petals being showered. And he was standing on the side behind maybe 2-3 lines of devotees. And Prabhupada came and he just suddenly turned towards where he was standing and looked straight at him. And Prabhupada simply smiled and then he just moved on. And that was it. Sachinandan Maharaj said, that was it. I decided I'll never leave. So even a smile. So Prabhupada knew how to deal with the person. Because each and every sense of a pure devotee is guided by Krishna. When somebody becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, each and every activity, his thought, his word is directed by Krishna, guided by Krishna. That is what is mentioned in the Gita also. That Krishna was personally guiding the senses of Arjuna because he was fully surrendered. To the degree a person is surrendered, to that very degree Krishna will take charge of our thoughts, words and actions. Therefore, for a pure devotee, when he chastises or whatever he does, we must understand it is coming from Krishna. Any instruction that he gives is coming from Krishna, because Krishna is the one who is guiding. Anything that he says, every word, every action is coming from the Lord. Because the pure devotee is completely surrendered. And Krishna he's like a transparent via media. He's free from false ego. So therefore Krishna is fully manifesting his mercy, his will through a pure devotee. So Krishna has a plan always, but he'll only utilize his most surrendered devotees to execute that plan, and that has to be, that will be done, but he'll use a pure devotee, his devotee, to execute that plan. So therefore sometimes the guru, it is very important and very fortunate that a person gets a guru. It is mentioned in the Shastras that Janame Janame Sabe Pita Mata Pae Guru Krishna Nahi Mile. That in every lifetime, in every species of life, we get mother, father, friends, society. In every species of life, these facilities are available. But we don't get Guru and Krishna shelter. We don't get Guru or Krishna so easily. Even after being born as a human being. So only the fortunate ones. Wherever the word guru has been mentioned in the Shastras, the word fortunate also has been used with it. Only a fortunate soul comes in touch with a bona fide guru. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. So only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, only a very Bhagyavan Vyakti, a fortunate person comes in contact with Guru and Krishna. So His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj used to say, as we were discussing the point, how each and every activity of a devotee who is fully surrendered is guided by Krishna. So we must have full faith. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj used to say that when a guru gives you an instruction or expresses a desire, we must simply say yes. As soon as we think, oh, how can I do it? How will it be done? We are fallen. It is Krishna's will manifesting, and it will happen. It will take, if Krishna has decided to do something, it will happen. Whether we do it or not, that's not so relevant. Somebody will do it, then Krishna will use somebody else. Like Prabhupada said, the temple of Vedic planetarium, which is coming up. Prabhupada told his disciples that this temple will manifest. It is Lord Chaitanya's will. If we don't do it, somebody else will do it. But somebody has to do it. But if we do it, we get the credit. So everything that a devotee who is fully surrendered does is personally guided by the Supreme Lord Himself. So therefore we must have full faith in the instructions, in the vision, in whatever the devotee is desiring, and just surrender. And whether it be a success or a failure, that's not important, because in spiritual life we get the success is not dependent on the result, it is simply dependent on the endeavor. If we have tried, we are successful. Like Gaurang Prabhu tells many times the story of Eco Village. How when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj gave the vision, many were actually not in favor, and they were thinking, what would happen, what will happen, why should we do this? And later on everybody realized how it is becoming like an oasis in the desert. So many people find shelter, and whoever we meet, whoever has gone to that place, have come back with very fond memories. So now, 2-3 months back, a very, very dear devotee couple, I will not mention the names, and please don't ask me after the class also, but a very dear devotee couple, young, they went to the Eco Village. And of course they know Maharaj also, so they went to meet Maharaj. They couldn't, but just from a distance, they just saw they couldn't meet. He was busy with the meetings. So they came back from GV after spending 2-3 days, and Mataji's brother was also here. He stays in the West. And then Mataji, she has a dream. He shared this with me, and of course her husband, just three of us. And she has a dream where she sees Srila Prabhupada is walking inside the Eco Village with his disciples as he would go for a morning walk. And suddenly she meets Prabhupada. So Prabhupada looks at her, stops, and Prabhupada says, "So, how do you find GV?" And this girl, this Mataji, said, "GV is amazing. I'm in love with this GV." And then Prabhupada smiled. He said, "Yes, GV is very nice." And he said, "I want the word to be spread. I want more and more people. I want more and more people to come to GV." And he said, "Your brother has gone to this country. He stays there. Tell him also to spread the word around. I want as many people as possible to come to GV." And then the dream just got over. A very, very clear thing. So this was Prabhupada's desire also. Because when Prabhupada was leaving his body, he said, although he traveled the globe 14 times in 12 years, made so many disciples, wrote so many books, touched, transformed so many lives, still when Prabhupada was leaving, he said, "I have only done 50%. 50% of my work was to create self-sufficient farm communities, to demonstrate the principle of simple living and high thinking." So the acharyas have a vision, the gurus have a vision. Otherwise the disciple is lost. It's guru who is like a powerful magnet. Our desires, our aspirations, they are scattered like iron filings. But when the guru enters like a powerful magnet in our life, he aligns every desire in one direction. He is the one who gives direction. He is not there to cut down on our speed. He is simply there to give a direction to our speed. So otherwise, if you don't have a guru, who will teach us about self-realization? So Krishna is emphasizing that anybody who is very serious about self-realization must accept a bona fide guru. And the guru has to be bona fide. There are various qualifications of a guru. The first and most important qualification, he has to be a Vaishnava, Padma Purana says. And he must know Krishna Tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Because Krishna is God, and guru's job is to connect us with Krishna. So guru must be a bona fide representative of Krishna, somebody who is authorized by Krishna. He must be connected to a bona fide Guru Shishya Parampara Sampradaya. He must be fixed in the conclusions of the scriptures. He must know what is the ultimate conclusion of a Shastra. It's not that, because Shastras speak about various topics, but the ultimate conclusion, many times people don't know, that has to be understood. Like the Gita, Krishna has spoken about Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, various other subjects, but ultimately the conclusion he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja sharanagati. Ramayana says the same thing. Sakrudeva prapannaya tavasmiti yachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadami etat vratam mama. And Bhagavatam is only talking about sharanagati. So every scripture, the conclusion is we have to take shelter of Krishna, sharanagati. That is what Krishna desires. So anyone who is a bona fide guru, he will always teach us to take shelter of Krishna. A real bona fide guru doesn't say that I'll solve all your problems. He just guides people towards Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, anybody, whenever they are in trouble, they take shelter of Krishna. Even such great personalities, they are so powerful, still, whenever there is a problem, they take shelter of Krishna. And that is the message of Bhagavatam, Sharanagati. So, who are we compared to these personalities? So, anybody who is teaching us to take shelter of Krishna is a bona fide guru. A guru doesn't say that, I'll give you some technique and I'll solve your problem, I'll give you some secret mantra and I will do it. He says, Krishna will do it. He is a transparent via media of Krishna's mercy. So therefore, anybody who is very serious about self-realization must approach a bona fide spiritual master. And depending on our desire, the kind of sincerity we have in our desire, we will be guided to a particular guru. Many times people are cheated by some pseudo-saints, some superficial gurus, those who are cheating. But the guru is not fully responsible. That somebody who is cheating is not so much responsible as the person who gets cheated. Because Prabhupada said, this is the law of supply and demand. Whenever there is a demand, what type of demand is there? Accordingly, a supply is there in society. Because people want to be cheated. Some people want a label of spirituality, but they don't want to do anything with this sincerely or seriously. So they get a person who is also like that, keeps them on the bodily platform, the superficial level, and goes on for 15-20 years, but there is no transformation. But if somebody is very serious, this is a system in the universe the Lord has made, because he's sitting as a Paramatma within the heart. Whatever we desire, it will be fulfilled in due course of time. Maybe in this lifetime, maybe in the next lifetime. If not in this body, if the desire is something this body is a limitation to fulfill that desire, then maybe some other body will be given. But everything will be done. So even if a person is sitting in the remotest corner of the universe and he desires the shelter of a bona fide guru, he will be guided, or the guru will come and stand in front of him. When a person desires to sincerely search out Krishna, God. Dhruva Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, he's in the middle of the forest and Narad Muni comes to him because he wanted to approach Lord Vishnu. So this is the system. When we want to approach God, there has to be a devotee involved. A devotee, a guru has to be involved. A guru has to be a Vaishnava. And without his involvement, even if we go to Krishna, he'll send us to a guru only. Like anybody who would approach Lord Chaitanya for shelter in Puri, he would guide them to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Go to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Go to Swarup Damodar Goswami. And without having the shelter of Guru, we will not attain the platform of self-realization. That was shown by Lord Chaitanya personally. Till he got initiated by Srila Ishwarapuri, he did not manifest the symptoms of ecstasy, that Krishna consciousness. He did not become a devotee till he took shelter of a bona fide Acharya, Guru. So Guru's position is the highest. Even if we go to Krishna, he'll guide us to a Guru only. By the mercy of Krishna, we get a Guru. And then by the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. That's how the loop gets completed. So also, there is a nice story in the Puranas, how Guru's position is the supreme and how he is the most important personality in our life, more important than the Lord himself, a bona fide Guru. That once a disciple, there was a Guru and he was teaching the Vedas to his disciple, the scriptures. And there came a time when there was going to be an exam, a test. So all the disciples had to recite the portions of the Vedas that they had learned under their Guru. The teacher would ask. So everybody went except for one person, one boy. And when he went to the Guru, Guru said, I'm a little busy with some work. So you can go and recite your portions of Vedas, this portion. Stand in front of the tree in the backyard. And there, in front of the tree, you stand and start reciting. And the disciple was wondering, what kind of instruction is this? Reciting in front of a tree? The Guru said, every time you make a mistake, a tree would fall, a leaf would fall down. And that would mean that you're committing a mistake. So that way you'll come to know that you're wrong. So the disciple went, and he just folded his hands, prayed, and all the tree, the leaves fell down. Even before he started reciting the Vedas. And he was totally taken aback. He came to his Guru. So Guru was also wondering. He said, okay, tell me, what did you do? How did you start? He said, before I started, I remembered Lord Ganesha. He said, that's the mistake. Before anybody, you have to remember your Guru. And Guru's position is the supreme. And then everything else falls into place. So self-realization without the Guru is impossible. So all we need to do is just have a very, very sincere desire. And accordingly, Krishna will send the right person into our life. He knows our mentality. He knows which platform we are on. And he knows what will benefit us the most, the kind of association. And accordingly, Krishna will make the arrangements. So, a person who doesn't have a bona fide Guru is not respected much at all, especially in the higher planetary systems. It is so important. In this day and age, living on this planet, we may be wondering, how is it so important? But anybody who is born as a human being, it is not a matter of choice. He has to have a Guru. Because life is meant for self-realization. Otherwise, except self-realization, everything else is available in any other species of life. If the human life is not used for self-realization, and we are not interested, then the material nature will think, okay, you're not interested, so let us give you a different body then. Because this body is only for self-realization. But for eating, sleeping, mating and defending, there are better bodies. In this body, there may be a limitation for that. But for self-realization, this is the best. Once Narad Muni went to a festival, a satsang which was taking place in the heavenly planets. And he saw, he was given a very lower seat. And everybody was sitting on a pedestal. And Narad Muni was a little taken aback, and then he inquired from his authority, why this? They said, because you don't have a Guru, so you deserve to sit down. Everybody else has a Guru. So immediately he went around and he accepted Shiva as his Guru. And then he came back. Then he was given a proper asana to sit on. Also, today is the most important, the holy Tithi of Akshaya Tritiya. And so many important events have taken place on this Tithi. First is Lord Vishnu's sixth incarnation, Lord Parshuram, appeared on this planet. The warrior incarnation of the Lord, who rid the earth of the Kshatriya race, the demonic Kshatriya race, 21 times. And also, Lord Ganesha, under the guidance of Vyasadeva, began writing the epic Mahabharata on this day. Mahabharata started on this day. Also, it is also mentioned that Kubera had lost his wealth and he prayed to Lord Shiva to return his wealth on this auspicious day. So on this auspicious day, he got his wealth back. So therefore, this day is also many times associated with lot of wealth. People try to invest today, or people try to buy new house or new car like that. Because they think that on this day anything done will get multiplied. The Pandavas received the Akshaya Patra from Krishna on this day. That Patra in which the food would never diminish and they could feed as many people as they want, as they wanted. Sudama visited Krishna with the chipped rice offering on this day at Dwarka. Also, this Tithi marked the beginning of Treta Yuga. Therefore, this Tithi is also known as Yuga Tithi. It marked the beginning of the second, which is known as Treta Yuga in this cycle. It is also the day when the holy river Ganga descended on this earth. And the day when the doors of Badrinath temple open for the general public, Badri Vishal. And this is also the only day of the year where Lord Varaha Narsingha in Simhachalam near Vizag, Vishakhapatnam, reveals his full form, which is otherwise throughout the year covered with sandalwood paste. So today we get the darshan of that special deity. This is such an auspicious tithi. And this also marks the beginning of the Chandan Yatra festival. As we can see the beautiful darshan of Shri Gopal. So for the next 21 days we'll have very, very special darshans. This time the theme is changed. So every darshan is a suspense. And that, at least that's how the message was sent out. So every day you will see a very beautiful and a different darshan, something that you've not seen in the previous years. So Lord Gopal, Shri Gopal would be covered with chandan. And the logic behind this is, first of all, that we consider him a person, that God is a person, he is a person. Pratima nahi tumi sakshat Brajendra Nandan. He is not some stone. By applying chandan to the Lord, we are making a statement to the whole world that he is a person, the deity is a person. The Lord is a person, first of all, and the deity form is the personal form of the Lord. The Lord manifests himself in various ways, in at least five different ways in this world, to show his mercy to all of us. So I heard this from one devotee that once Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So Srimati Radharani was telling Krishna, because she is full of compassion, always thinking about the welfare of the living entities. She told Krishna that you are sitting in your this para vyoma. The first manifestation of the Lord is called para. That means the one which is present in the para vyoma, the spiritual sky. She said, you are sitting here in your Golok Vrindavan and there your children are suffering in the material world. What is this? You must do something for them. So Krishna said, all right, I'll expand myself. So the second manifestation of Krishna became to help the living entities, the Vyuha expansion. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh. When Lord Ram appeared, he appeared in his Vyuha expansion. Ram, Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna. In Dwarka also, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh. Srimati Radharani said, still this is not very accessible to them. Still you are in your own abode. How will they access your grace? There are so many living entities. Then the Lord said, all right, then I will manifest the Vibhava expansion. That means all the different expansions of the Lord, the Varaha, the Narsingha, Kurma, Parashuram, all these personalities. He said, so these are my expansions. Whenever there is a need, whenever my children will call out to me, they need me, I will descend. I will manifest myself. But Srimati Radharani said, still this is not enough. Because you are only going to manifest when they call out to you. What if they are so under illusion that they don't even feel the need to call out to you, or they don't even know about you? So what will happen? How will they access your grace? And the Lord said, all right, then I will do the best job possible for your pleasure. He said, then I will enter each and everyone's heart as Super Soul, the Paramatma, and I'll be right next to the Jiva. And whenever the Jiva desires something, I'll be there immediately. Understand his desire and fulfill it. Make proper arrangements to fulfill that desire. As Paramatma, whichever species of life the soul will go into, I'll accompany. Now this is a very extreme degree of mercy of Krishna. Wherever the soul, the whichever species, whichever condition, he is accompanying the soul. Right next to the soul is situated the Super Soul. Right next to Atma is the Paramatma. The soul resides within the region of the heart. Srimati Radharani says, still this is not enough. Because you're still hiding within the heart, you're not accessible, they can't see you, they can't serve you. And without that seva, they will not be liberated, they will not be delivered. Then Krishna said, all right, then I'll make the best arrangement. And so this fourth expansion was Antaryami. First is Para, Vyuha, Vibhava, and Antaryami. And then Krishna said, all right, now I'm doing the best. I'll manifest in a form by which I'll make myself available to my devotees, to the jivas of this world, 24/7. Whenever they want, they can take my darshan, they can see me, they can serve me, they can reciprocate. And that form of the Lord, in which he has made himself 24/7 available to us, and which is the manifestation of the compassion of Srimati Radharani's heart for all of us, is called Archa Avatar. So this deity form of the Lord is not stone, it is one of the incarnations of the Lord. It is called Archa Avatar. Just like every incarnation of the Lord has a specific mission, so this incarnation of the Lord has only one mission, and that is to accept the archana of the devotees. Whenever we dress him, he will be wearing clothes. When we forget to feed him, he will go hungry. So he is putting himself under our care. And in this form, he has made himself 24/7 available to us. So this is the most merciful manifestation of the Lord. And simply by serving the deity of the Lord, we are making a statement that he is a person. Plus we are also acknowledging the fact that he's made himself available so that we can serve him. And by this service, the doors, our good fortune is created. The Bhagavatam again and again reiterates this fact that without service to Krishna, life remains inauspicious. And as soon as Krishna enters into our life, everything becomes auspicious. So we request everyone to be a part of this wonderful seva in Chandani Yatra, where we are trying to provide some cooling to Lord Gopal, Shri Gopal, by applying sandalwood. And there are arrangements made next to the lift on the first floor where people, devotees, can grind chandan. And this chandan will be applied directly on the body of the Lord. So it's a personal seva. It's a time of the year where everyone gets to do personal seva to the Lord. Otherwise one has to be second initiated, can't enter the altar otherwise. But here we are getting the direct service to Krishna. And what is the principle behind it? By giving that cooling to Lord Gopal, the heat which is bothering us, the heat of the misery, threefold miseries of this world, that will be destroyed. Naivatmanah prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidushah karuno vranito. यद्यज्जनो भगवति विदधीतमानम तच्चात्मने प्रतिमुखस्य यथा मुख श्री. सो प्रहलाद महाराज टेल्स नरसिंह देव इन दिस वर्स दैट माय डियर लॉर्ड, व्हेनेवर अ डिवोटी ऑफर्स यू एनीथिंग, ही डज इट फॉर हिज ओन बेनिफिट बिकॉज यू डोंट नीड एनीथिंग, यू आर सेल्फ सफिशियंट. एंड ही गिव्स द एनालॉजी टू अंडरस्टैंड दिस. ही सेज यू आर द रियल पर्सन एंड वी आर लाइक द इमेज इन द मिरर. सो इफ द इमेज इन द मिरर नीड्स टू बी डेकोरेटेड, वी हैव नीड्स टू लुक डेकोरेटेड, the real person must be decorated. So if the image in the mirror needs to smile, the real person must smile. The real person is the Lord and we are like the image in the mirror. So if we want relief from the heat of the threefold miseries of the Lord, we have to apply this cooling effect on the Lord. Give him that cooling effect. As soon as he feels that cooling, he will also remove that burning sensation or the heat of the adhyatmik, adi bhautik and adi devak klesh. The misery is caused by the mind and body, the misery is caused by others, and the misery is caused by natural disasters. And then our whole life will become extremely blissful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.